Who heard who speak on the Hawks album? And give me the microphone. You have to turn it on. You know it.
Oh. It was on before, what?
I turned it off. I don't want it to... You know what I'm talking about? The heart problem.
The heart
death.
Oh, yeah. Well, they went after Chief Rabbi Jonathan Sacks also.
Yeah, so... I don't know. Say that. I would never speak on that topic because I'm not a doctor. I don't have... You need a certain facility. And if Shani, I can give a share, international dateline, but on the heart, brain death.
Well, Dr. Axel, you know.
Yeah, he can give a share.
So he does. He says it's still not good enough.
He told me there's a difference between Israel to America. Here they would do the test, in America they wouldn't. Nachum, do me a favor, close the window. It shouldn't blow on me. The one in front of you or that one, whichever one is open. If Michael's not here today, tell him tomorrow I'm dealing with something he said last week. Something happened that's just amazing. That ties right in. Okay, I'm ready to roll. Today is Erev Yom HaZikaron. The memorial services have already started here. And while we're talking on to close to 25,000 Chalalim Lo Aleinu. Let me just say it's Sunday, May 8th, 2011. I just want to mention one name because I find that if you speak about 6 million Jews, no one can grasp it. But if you speak about one, you can then multiply that by 6 million. So I mentioned to you David Applebaum, Hashem Yikom Damo. David was bigger than life. He was the Talmud Muvhak of the Baron Soloveitchik. He was an outstanding medical doctor. He didn't listen to my sagacious advice when he was going steady with my student Deborah Sparrow, whom he married afterwards. He asked me if he should become a Rosh Yeshiva or become a medical doctor. I told him to become a Rosh Yeshiva, became a medical doctor. David was just something so special, you have no idea. A mensch, a top quality emergency doctor, how many people he resuscitated, and a big Talmud Chacham, Yerei Shemayim, with all the briska chumras, didn't carry on Shabbos, not Samach on the Erev. His mother used to say he kept Shabbos, he wouldn't do Malacha D'Oraita till Tuesday morning, his mother would say. I would say 96 minutes after Shabbos, he didn't do Malacha D'Oraita. But David was David, and the day doesn't go by that I don't recall him. As you know, his picture hangs in my office. His daughter, imagine a collar going to mikvah and being killed later that night, the night before her wedding. We've paid a tremendous price to be here, and in my new book, you'll see in the final chapter, I take note of this. It's probably my most powerful chapter. And I trust you'll understand not only what's written, but between the lines as well. Now, I want to finish up to the Summer of Rosh today. Today is a very different type of shiur. I'm going to do something I've never done before. And I can tell you in advance, everyone will understand it. But the depth of how much you can grasp, you may come back to what I'm going to do today 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now as you develop into great Talmidei Chachamim. Now, what's amazing about the Summer of Rosh is how do we relate to him? The lumdis, the learning, the knowledge, superb. Halavai, all of us in this class should be under the Summer of Rosh's level. And I showed you that there were basically two approaches. The Sephardic approach, which tended to accept him, some of them accepted him totally, like the Stechemid, like the Chidah. How could it be that a great Talmud Chacham could lie, could fib? It has to be accurate. This is the Besamim Rosh of the Rush, etc. I showed you in the Litvish Welt, we did Rav Chanis, the Toldot HaPoskim. It's a famous sefer. His attitude already was very different. This is a literary forgery, and he was very negative. In modern times, I think the tshuva Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, I started the class with that tshuva back in August, I'm ending the series of lectures with that tshuva, I did it last week. dealing with suicide, which is very much in my mind at this moment in time. As you know, a student of mine who, whenever he visited Israel, he came to this very classroom, committed suicide, and the whole question are these people sane, not sane? And everyone quotes the B'Samim Rosh, and Rav Ovadia, and he quotes Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin, that it's not important who said it, but what he said. In other words, we know it's a literary forgery, but if he says something good, we're going to take it and rejoice. And this is their approach. In 1984, which is not ancient history, a new version of the B'Samim Rosh came out. What do I mean a new version? It's the same print, it's a photograph of the original edition. It doesn't leave out the two tshuvot that were left out 100 years earlier, but it comes out with a super commentary by Rav Reuven Moshe Amar, filled with awe and reverence for the B'Samim Rosh, and he has a whole edition, Reich B'Samim, which would be so fascinating. I don't want to take out the time to go through it in depth, but suffice it to say, be very fascinating for you to go through if you have time, after all our Sheyurim, because he doesn't shy away from any question we threw out. And he tries to be Malamed Skud on the B'Samim Rosh, no matter what issue you come up with. And I'll deal with a fascinating issue. I'll give you an example of what Rav Reuven Amar does. One of them, and this is a question, the whole question of shaving Chalamayit. As you know, I find it hard not to shave it. Mamas tortures me. But what can I do? I live in Israel, so from the time I live in Israel, I don't shave during Sfir. I just shave Fridays, Yom HaTzmud. But I am somewhere, you know, there are many psukim like that from Rabbi Lichtenstein, from Rabbi Soloveitchik. I understand Rabbi Riel, I believe, just paskin this way. Or Rabbi Biner, one of those two just paskin that way. Okay, fine. Chalamoid, I shave. I'm somewhere on going back. It goes back to the Nodav Yehuda. It follows through later with Rav Moshe Feinstein, with the Tzvi Pesach Frank, Tzvi Pesach Frank. It follows through with the Rav, etc., etc. Now, what is shaving Chalamoid? Where does the Heta begin? The Heta begins, if you look into the Torim, the Torim quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, that if you shave every day, or quite often, and you shave Erev Yontif, then the whole reason of the Mishnah falls away, Shem Yikanesh L'Yontif Menuvo, and therefore you're allowed to shave. What you see is, from that Mishnah, that at the time of Chazal, they only shaved occasionally. So if you only shave occasionally, see, what's the prayer? Well, my mother-in-law, Zichrono Livracha, she was a tzaddiket, but she had an expression, what you don't do Erev Shabbos, you do on Shabbos. It was a joke, but it's a joke that has meaning to it, because if you know you can shave in Chol HaMoed, why bother shaving Erev Yontif when you're so busy getting ready for the Chag? Oh, shave in Chol HaMoed. So the Mishnah says, Shem Yikanes L'Yontif Menuvo, and if that shot is correct, and the Tua quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, that if you shave the Erev Yontif and you shave often, you should be allowed to shave in Chol HaMoed. There's only one problem. No one has ever found that Rabbeinu Tam. Okay? So we're quoting the Torah, who evidently had a tradition, but it's not in Tosfot, it's not in Sefer Yoshev, Rabbeinu Tam. You follow me? It can't be found. So who comes along and quotes Rabbeinu Tam? The Rosh. In the Samim Rosh, quotes Rabbeinu Tam. So what's happening here? Let's be honest. What's happening is very simple. He knows that the core quotes Rabbeinu Tam, so he works Rabbeinu Tam into the Rosh. Reuven Amar goes crazy with joy. We now found another source for Rabbeinu Tam. This is a Rishon. This is a Rosh. And he says, Baruch Hashem, that this manuscript was discovered, and we now have a Rishon who quotes Rabbeinu Tam. It's not only the Torah. Now, you see, how would you approach it? It's circular reasoning. The whole thing is a bluff. But according to Rav Amar, he's overjoyed. And he goes through every problem we raise. Kvinat Akum, Stam Yenam. he finds a line in Tosfot, and it's true. Rabbeinu Tam was quite makil when it came to all the problems that Stam Yenum create. Not as far as drinking Chas V'Chalila, but he's quite makil. If you study Reb Chaim Soloveitchik's magnum opus, Yenum, you'll understand what I'm saying, that the Rabbeinu Tam is quite makil. And also the whole question of stomping on the grapes. I remember I mentioned it in class. These are tremendous problems, because no Jew, we have the problem in Israel, how many Jews want to be garbage cleaners? Today, Baruch Hashem, you see guys in Yerushalayim with beard and payas and big kippot, and they're garbage cleaners. You got to make a shechiyona when you see it. A Jew doesn't want to do that type of work. You know, a Yiddish mama, when I was growing up, her dream was her kid should be a medical doctor. In Europe, the dream was you should be a Talmud Chacham. Remember the stories of the lullabies? In modern times, maybe until the recent financial setback, her kid should be a financial genius, a stockbroker. Today, I don't know what the dream is, but one thing is for certain, that Jews don't like to do dirty work. Where are you going to find Jews to stump on the grapes with their feet to squeeze out the juice? And our whole heter goes back to Rabbeinu Tam. So everything, gvinat akum. Wait, hold on one second. Driving, remember the story of the carriage that you get stuck on Shabbos, can you continue traveling? He finds other achroinim that mention it, but there was pikuach nefesh. The way the summer Rosh describes, there's not even pikuach nefesh. But he goes on and on. This is the reich b'samim. You will enjoy going through it. And according to Rav Ruven and Ma, the Vesalman Rosh is absolutely accurate. And anyone who comes and criticizes and says that Rav Shaul Berlin was a liar, a cheater, a faker, a forger, atid litene kadin. And 100%. And as I showed you last week, with Haskama, do you remember who gave Haskama? Rav Ovadia Yosef. And Rav Binyamin Zilber, he was called the little tzaddik of Bnei Brak. And Rav Binyamin Zilber is an Ashkenazi, and he gives the Haskama without any hesitancy. And Rav Avadi Yosef gives the Haskama without any hesitancy. Okay, this brings you into today's shir. Okay, let's go.
Rav mentioned that the Sephardi Chachamim, the state Chachamim, he died separately because they weren't exposed to the Enlightenment.
Well, that's my theory. My theory is number one, the Sephardim have a tradition of Kula. You know the Shulchan Aruch, I'll quote the Rav to you. The Rav said time and again that they have one Chumrah that wipes out all their Kula. That the Mach Bidan Glat, even as explained to me, it's more Glat than Glat for the Hungarians. You follow? The way they touch the seekers, etc. So the Rav said, that's equal to real their coolers, because that's really a problem. And particularly at that time in America, who got glat meat? Who heard of glat meat? I just met someone around my age, a YU graduate, a little younger, Rabbi Dr. Yitzchak Hendel. He lives in Israel today. You may recognize the name. He was head of the graduate school. So Yitzchak and I were both reminiscing. When we grew up, we never heard of glat. Kosher, not kosher, period. But outside of that, the Sfadim have every cooler in the world. It's fabulous to be a Sfadim. You don't have 3 weeks, right or wrong. You barely have 9 days. When Tisha B'Av falls on a Sunday, it's a whole Indian. You don't even, when it's not a Nitzka, you don't even have 9 days. It's fabulous to be a Sfadim. And it goes on and on and on and on. So the Sfadim, number one, they're not shocked if someone is Mekil. But number two, which I think is much more correct and much more relevant and much more profound, they were not exposed to the Ashkenazic challenges.
For Rav Amar, in 1984.
Right, and Rav Amar,
you're
trying to push him in to the Ashkenazic world in which you were challenged and raised. Gili, you were exposed to the New York Times. You were exposed to television. You were exposed to movies. You can grow up in Israel today, in the year 2012, and not have been exposed to anything whatsoever. Okay? Now, whether that's good or bad, we'll leave that for another time. But Rav Mama is a prime example that he was furious at people who found fault with the Besamim Rosh. Okay, yes?
So why did he get an Eskama from Rav Avadia?
It was a forgery, but he has many good ideas. Relax, we'll come to it.
What does the
Haskama say? The Haskama says it's a wonderful sefer and that he's very proud of the commentary by Rav
Ruvrema.
I think by the end of the year you will have answered your question. Relax. Gentlemen, when I came in Aliyah, living around the corner from me in Rehov Brody 42 years ago, was maybe about 10 years older than I, Rav David Tamar, no longer alive, Zichrono Livracha, Professor David Tamar. Now, when we came in Aliyah, it was like something very new, a YU Talmud, a Talmud of the Rav. When I gave Shirm, started teaching in BMT, I can tell you exactly where BMT was, you can go visit it, Rehov Babanel 24. Does anyone know what street is on one side of Babanel? Ibn Shaprut. Who lives at Ibn Shaprut 12? Professor Menachem Elon, who then was on the Supreme Court, the author of the Mishpat Ivri, one of the greatest minds, he's an old man today, not in the best of health. He used to come to BMT on Sundays when the court didn't sit, whatever the reasons were, to hear my shiurim. So I asked him, he's a Chevron Yeshiva graduate, he's a Gaon. I said, why do you come to hear my shiurim? He says, I want to hear a Talmud of the Rav. So it was a big thing. When Rav Aaron Lichtenstein came in Aliyah, so Rav Aaron moved in around the corner from me. So I lived in Berlin, right around the corner was David Tamar, and Rabbi Aaron's day. Shabbos, we were all together at Kiddush. I think it was at Rabbi Aaron's house. You should have seen this David Tamar fallen Rabbi Aaron. It was like Mashiach had come. So I asked David, I said to him, what do you know? He's a yeshiva product who got involved, university, PhD, Chachmat Yisrael. Do you know what those terms mean? Go to Rakepit's lectures on Chochmat Yisrael. How many years ago already? Who can remember? 7, 8, 9 years ago. Spent many, many months, but those were good lectures. It explained scientific Jewish scholarship. Underlined the word scientific. He found someone like Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. He said to me, Yesh li mishu shani yichol ledaber ito. That's someone I can talk to. Rav Aaron, you know, is a giant of traditional learning, but he understands scientific approach, he has appreciation. I can talk with him. He said to me, thank God people like you came in Aliyah. He was like the happiest guy in the world. Okay. Now, I'm now quoting, with that background, I'm now quoting an article by David Tamar that appeared in Hatzofer April 23rd, 1986. Now, what's Hatzofer? Vayakum Dachadash, you guys never heard of Hatzofer. Today there is a daily newspaper, Makor Rishon. Makor Rishon is basically a religious Zionist newspaper. The Haredi world has something like 4 or 5 daily newspapers. How they support so many daily newspapers, I have no idea. But the fact that they need so many reflects our greatest tragedy today. We are so subdivided and subdivided and subdivided that it is a tragedy. In unity, there is strength. In subdivision, there is endless controversy and machloket.
Okay.
Yes, they put Mishpacha into Chayim, Baruch Hashem, and see Mishpacha, they're a bunch of idiots. They refuse to interview me for fear, because I'm hard for them to swallow. They can't portray me as a black hat. You know, no matter how much you try, Rakepit is a frum guy, that they have to admit, the head of Agudat Israel in America, says very nice things about my frumkeit, my dedication, my learning, my commitment, but I am a religious Zionist. It can't be swept under the carpet. So my students who are right wing had them all excited, they're going to interview me. They didn't interview me, and they still went into Chayrim, which just proves to the Baruch. Anyway, Hatzofer was the Mizrahi daily newspaper, and it was a very good paper. I mean, when it came to news, you know, it wasn't like a Marib or Yediot, but it had very insightful columns. On that paper, in that issue that I'm quoting from 1986, David Tamar has a column where he would comment on books and articles and give you his point of view. And remember, you're dealing with a frum Jew who's a Talmud Chacham, who teaches at the universities, who has a scientific Jewish approach. Unlike the Litvakin and their anti the summer Rosh, and unlike Rav Avadjer and the Sfadim, who tolerated the summer Rosh, David Tamar gets hysterical. And he says, I'm paraphrasing word by word, the ultimate chutzpah, this idiot, Reuven Amar, takes a work that is absolutely known to be false and a literary forgery, and he goes and republishes it and writes a commentary trying to justify lies, he goes crazy. And being a frum Jew, he quotes two Hasidic sources that are unbelievable. And he gives you the sources. It's all in the article. That one time, the Avnei Nezer tells a story. He's a great Hasidic rabbein, the Slach Tshuva world. And he tells the story that there was this Chassid who had a copy of the Besamim Rosh in his library. You know, people like to look at libraries. They judge you. I know when anyone comes into my house, my friends, my colleagues, if the first thing they do, they look at the Sfarim that are accessible. I have, you know, underneath it's covered, but what's on top you can see. They're looking. They're all confused because in my library it's a multifaceted library which represents my own teachings, my own life, and, you know, the Rav and Rav Meisher and all from the yeshiva world and a doctorate and a scholarly approach. So this chassid had to be Besamim Rosh. His Rebbe walked in and found the Besamim Rosh. He took the sefer and said to him, you rotten, vicious, malicious, hideous, heinous, ruthless, depraved, degenerate, devout, surreptitious, apikores. He said, this sefer, you should burn it when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos. Mutal Yisrofet, word by word. Mutal Yisrofet said, Kishe Yom Kippur nofel b'Shabbat. Wow. Tells another story about the Alexander dynasty that future Rebbe in his library had the Besamim Rosh. The Rebbe walked in, grandfather, saw the sefer, threw it under the bookcase on the floor, and told him, get rid of it. In your language, threw it into the garbage can. Get rid of it. It's all here. It's a fabulous article. And David Tamar quotes the Gemara in Ketuvot. Daf Gimel, the Gemara in Ketuvot, Daf Yutet Amid Bet. I wrote a Yutet like a Vavtet, wow. 38. Yutet Amid Bet. What's the Gemara in Ketuvot?
What's that 38?
On the second side, it gives you a Roman number. So 38 tells you right away, it's Yutet Amid Bet. But I wrote on the side, Vav Tet, not Vav Tet, it's Yud Tet, Amit Bet. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Asaloli Adam Sheyasher, Shtap Rua Bitoch Beito, Mishum Shenema, a Pasuk in Iyub, Al Tishkon Bi'olecha Avla. You know what that means. Someone borrowed money from me. No? I want to guarantee that I'll get back the money. What do? I have him write a shtar to me. He pays me. The minute you're paid, you're supposed to get rid of that shtar. You're not allowed to keep that shtar in your house. Why? Someone will find it and think that the shtar was not paid. You cannot keep something that will mislead people, that will cause tragedy. Something that shek of a chazav in your house. How dare you keep the besamim rosh? And he flung it on the floor. Understand? It's like someone walking in, someone face a kanoi, a rabarala, a satma. Rakepet is their biggest enemy. Oh no, I can tell you with Asameach, when I was young, I used to debate with them. So they had a rule in Asameach, we never dialogue with Harav Rakepet. Why? Because I once in front of a few hundred people, this Baal Tshuva who can barely read Hebrew is boasting how he doesn't sing HaTikvah. I said, what, you don't sing HaTikvah? Tell me, when you wake up in the morning, do you say Matovo Alecha Yaakov, Mishkenotecha Yisrael? Of course, it's in the Siddur. I said, who said it? Bilam HaRasha. Gee, I think Bilam HaRasha was a lot worse than Naftali Hirtz Imba. The audience broke into such applause, it was unbelievable. So a guy walks into someone's house, and he's going to see from Washington Avenue to Washington Street. What a document of religious sign. He's going to take the book. Don't leave this in your house, because on the floor, under the bookcase. Burn it when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbat. Yitzchak, something should be bothering you. Why the Kanot? Why is David Tamar going crazy? Now, I don't know whether the Hasidic stories are true or not. He gives sources. There are many Hasidic stories circulating. I don't know. Could be they're true, could be they're not true. The Rav always used to say, the stories about Gedol Yisrael at times are, use the Rav's word, fantastic. He loved that word. He said he doesn't know whether they're true, but the fact that Klal Yisrael, Am Yisrael, could talk that way shows you what they thought of Gedol Yisrael. And that's important. You follow? That's important. So it doesn't matter. He tells these Hasidic stories, but he's going crazy here. Imagine, burn the Besamrim Rosh Yom Kippur that fell on Shabbat. Get rid of it. A liar. Deceit. Wow. Gentlemen, what you have here are worlds in collision. We, who are from the Talmud Torah world, and I think you know as much as I've been exposed to scientific Jewish scholarship, you know, my heart remains in Talmud Torah, and I've always stated this, and I've explained it and dealt with it in great depth, that I'm opposed to teaching young people scientific approach. First, they got to learn how to learn in the traditional fashion. Later, if you are so attracted and you're a Talmud Chacham, fine, so become a Rav Shaul Lieberman and finish out the Tosefta. Tosefta Kavshita. You know, Rav Shaul Lieberman's Magnum Opus, which was never finished. You have to be a Rav Shaul Lieberman to be able to finish it. But, I recognize the value. I can even tell you in the yeshiva world, I was telling my grandsons, Rav Hanach Albeth, if you recognize the name, he's the brother-in-law to Rav Avram Weiss, Professor Weiss, was on the Judenrat in Warsaw. They got him out with miracles. He taught in Bernard Rebbe Graduate School. His brother-in-law was Professor Hanna Halbach, who got to Israel. So, I mean, he was scientific. But even in the yeshiva world, they revered him. The man knew all of Shas by heart, backwards and forwards. He was a tzaddik yisod olam. But he had a sayur. If you see his perish on Mishnayot, you'll see where he deals with Greek and Latin and words. And the man was something special. Scientific approach. When you're in the yeshiva world or the traditional approach, you know, we're bought off by a good vant. It's not perfect. Could be it's forced, could be it's homiletical, but we appreciate it. You can go through all the sperm that are available today, and there are thousands of sperm in English, on the Pasha, on Pirkei Yavot. And if you really want to go through with a red marker, you can mark off what's solid and what is homiletical, dashanut. Semantics, apologetics. But a good vort we enjoy. Some of us enjoy gematria. I have a friend, Rabbi Leo Marcus, a terrific speaker. He's married to the Meshvitzer Rebbe's daughter, who went to school with my wife, Malka. You know, in America, in Europe, this would have never happened. Eli Marcus came from a Litvish family. Chaya came from a Hasidic family, but in America, yeah, there's the Rishon Avata. Her father, you know, was a Rishon. It was something special, like a Tzadik Lebracha. Wow. So Eli is a terrific dasha, and he can spin gematrias for a Sheikh Pei. All right. I'll tell you a little story. Let me illustrate it. In the early 70s, with big yichus, I think it was a Shpinka and Einikol. Finally got married. I knew he was from a very famous Litvish family, but he was marrying a lady. They were not youngsters, and they were getting married, and she was, I believe, the Ashpinkes Anenik, a big Hasidic Yechus. And a Rebbe came, there was a Sheva Brachis at the King David, as I recall. These were not poor people. It was Biyak HaMelech. And I remember that I was maybe 1970, 71, I was a youngster. And the Rebbe spoke, it was right before Yom Kippur, and the Rebbe spoke, Atem nitzavim hayom, min shteiches fadi yebishtu, you're standing before God, Yom Hadin, Atem, vidaheleke bal taidas hat gesagt, like the holy Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Polad, the author of the Polad, Atem, Eben titzak mekir. The stones in the wall are crying in fear of God before Yom HaDin. And he repeated it, and he repeated it, and he's telling the young couple, and he's telling this. When Gideon's son, remember, Atem Nitzavim Hayom. No? Is that the Pshat Atem Evin Titzak Mekir? But you like that, Shanut? Beautiful. Chochmat Yisrael is like my approach to Jewish history. I shiver, I shake when I see Oddscroll putting out history books with absolute, total, complete, unadulterated lies. It's beyond my comprehension. I have a sense that I'm trained in Jewish history. You have to be a scholar. When you predict the past, you got to try your best to be honest. What are we doing when we write history? We're predicting the past. We weren't there. But all right, some of us know how to do it. It slaughters me. I mean, you all know this book on Rabbi Shera with Gromyko. It's beyond words. David Tamar is a scientific scholar. He went crazy. He went berserk. How do you republish a farce, a phony, lies, and yet give him credit and praise the book and negate and abrogate his detractors? Wow. Worlds in coalition. Yitzchak, you with me? Do you feel it? All right. No, you don't feel it yet. I'm going to give you a double injection now. Gentlemen, a moment in time has arrived. For all those listening across the world, the Rebbe is ecstatic that he can, Baruch Hashem, Zeicha, to have a little insight now. That's what I kept talking about. What's the Rebbe hopping ahead? Ah, so Dovah Tamar got hysterical. So Rav Avadjer has half a smile. The Chidah is a total smile. All right, a nice pshat, all right, Atem Nitzavim, Rebbe, we enjoyed fine Chachmat Yisrael, pure science, honest. Nothing to do with Frumkeit. Dovah Tamar was a Yid Tzadik. He never missed a mincha. Take my word for it. Nothing to do with Frumkeit. But it has to do with basic approaches. A lie is a lie. Plagiarism is plagiarism. Oh no, forget it's a lie, forget it's plagiaristic. If it's a good word, it's a good word. We like it. Gentlemen, I'm going to take a Gemara in Pesachim. What I'm doing now really happened. Really happened. I don't want to mention names. There are reasons why. I'm going to take this Gemara and I'm going to give two different sermons based upon this Gemara. Okay? See if you catch where the Chuntis Gegraben, the Avrit, a Foshat Kelev Kavur. There's no English translation for that. See if you catch it. Billy, you got me? Atatz Chalek be Avrit Tva? Baruch Hashem. Sachem Daf Kufyud Gimel Amir Aleph. And ultimately, it's a debate between a father and son. Both of them go'aynim shebe'go'aynim. One of a kind. The father and the son. But one was totally traditional in his approach, and one was Chachmat Yisrael. Also a great Talmud Chacham, yeshiva product, went on to a PhD at Hebrew University, totally Chachmat Yisrael. And let me read the Gemara to you, and let me give you a drasha that I gave based upon this Gemara. Pesachim Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shlosha Min Ochalei Olam Haba, three types of people inherit the world to come. Eluhem, Hadab Eretz Yisrael, someone who lives in the land of Israel. Hamagadel Banav LeTalmud Torah, raises his sons to study Torah. Now, do you know the third one? Anybody? Vahamavdil Al Hayayin. Shabbat. It's someone who makes Abdullah on one Saturday night.
I heard this when I was 15 years old.
You heard the Gemara?
Yeah, from the same fellow.
No. You heard from me? I'm giving my drasha.
Yeah, let's see what you say.
Listen to my drasha. And I'll give the other drasha. Gentlemen, what did the Gemara say? The Gemara is teaching us a very basic lesson. A Jew does not live in the present. The present is the least important. A Jew has to be inspired by the past and planned for the future. Living in Eretz Yisrael, following the Hitler period, this is building the future of the Jewish people. What a challenge. Kibbutz Galyot, ingathering of the exiles. What difficulty. What reawakening all over the world. what miracles are engendered. Look where we've come, from a handful of Jews to over 6 million Jews al admat ha-kodesh. More Jews than the entire diaspora put together. What an achievement. You're worried about the future? You're a good Jew? You're concerned? Live in Eretz Yisrael. But it's more than that. You have to give chinuch, education. Without education, our children will not be ours. Without education, chas v'chalila, they can cut off the branches, cut down the branches of the tree on which we sit. They have to feel connected. They have to be part of that heroic saga of Jewish existence. That endless march before God and man, from Matan Torah to Yemot HaMashiach. Give your children a proper education, then you are entitled to Olam Haba. Not bad, right? Beautiful. Live in Israel, give your children a Torah education. Gentlemen, make a dollar on wine. What's the big deal? We make Kiddush, we make a dollar, we have like a Mishnah, we have Matzah, Lula, Petra. What's the big deal? The Gemara asks, Mahi, what's going on here? And the Gemara answers, the Meshaya Mikidusha Lachav. Look into the Rashbam, sheyesh lo miyat yayin, umoneya shtiyato b'shvil hastala. That concept is the key to the whole Gemara. You have to think ahead. You don't just live for today, for now, for here. That's the New York Times. They couldn't care less about the past or the future. Homosexually, fine, beautiful. Do whatever you want. Dress the way you want. No, no, this is Western culture today. What? You don't see what went on? The future king of England marries this lady? Marries this lady? They've been living together for how many years already? What are we talking about? A marriage? And it's frightening. And everyone is rejoicing as if Kol Yodim Lamakala Nichneset L'Chuppah, paraphrasing the Amoran Shabbos. This is the Western world. Not the Torah world. The Torah world is totally different. The presence does not count. It's the past inspiring us, planning for the future. The greatest nachat in life is banu muvnei banu, oskim b'Torah v'mitzvot. Or as we say at the end of Avodat Zion, I'm quoting Rebbe now, quoting the Rav, lo nigal arik v'lo meleid la bahala. Those are the most important words in davening. And the concept of Havdalah is overwhelming. The Jew, Shabbos is over. Shabbos morning, he was whining and drinking and having a great time. Well, you're going to run out of wine. How will you make Havdalah? Think ahead. And if you think ahead, you live in Eretz Yisrael, and you raise your children to be Talmidei Chachamim. That's my drasha. Josh, what do you say?
That's great.
Thank you. Flattery will get you everywhere. Gentlemen, drasha number one, over. Drasha number two, same Gemara. I cannot tell you who gave this drasha. But believe me, I do not come to his shoelaces. Not to his shoelaces. Moraga Rabotai, he's giving it in Yiddish, I'm translating it in English. I'm hearing his voice in my head. Moraga Rabotai, Ayid Banknach Kedusha. A Jew longs for for holiness. Doesn't want to let go. He's so depressed when Shabbat ends. He's so depressed when Yom Kippur ends. He longs, he searches, he seeks. Keep the Kedusha going. Vayehi mimacharat. Talk about Yitro, Moshe Rabbeinu, how he sits down to judge the Jews. And what does Chazal say? Mimacharat is mimacharat Yom Kippur. Now what does that mean? A brilliant. That Moshe Rabbeinu found it hard to leave the sanctity, the holiness, the eternity, the nitzchiyut of Yom Kippur. That even though he had to return to his daily mundane work, sitting and judging the Jews, but the feeling, the elevation, the spiritual sanctity, the guidance, the insight of Yom Kippur was still with him. Alright, Rabotai? This is the Hasidic world. Have you ever wondered why Hasidim do not like to say Tachlin? What do Hasidim have against Tachlin? Some of you know, you come into a Hasidic shul, they have a calendar. Have you ever seen these calendars? And in every day they have the dates of the outside of which Rebbeim, the Gabbai, get the clock, give the bang. Today is the outside of the holy Jitamitl Rebbe, and he gives a name. No Tachman. Never say Tachman. You know why? Because Tachman represents the weekday. Chol. Vachidik Zeit. It's not sanctity. It's not holy. It's not inspiring. It's depressing. A Hasidish neshama doesn't want to leave the world of holiness. He can't part from what was the day before the Shabbat, the Yontif, the visit to the Rebbe, the Fabringen, the sanctity, the holiness. And let me tell you a story that happened to me in my youth, which will illustrate this point. And he goes on to tell the following story. He was a youngster, your age, younger than the Kollel, but the age of Torah Shragan. And he was in Warsaw. In Shabbos afternoon, he took a nap. And he woke up late. Everyone in the Litvish shuls and the Mestantish shuls got in Marav already. The stores were open. So he looked for a minion. Nope, figured by Chassidim, there'll still be Shabbos day. He went to the Majestic Shtibble. Majestic Shtibble comes in, there in the middle of Sudashli Shit. They're singing B'nai Chalim, Mizmal of David. They're in the middle of Shabbos. An hour and a half already, after Shabbos ending, after Haftarah. And he sees this tall chassid and he recognizes, from during the week, he used to see this chassid, it was a vasatreger. You know what a vasatreger is? Today you get water in your apartment. In those days they carried the water, you had to hire someone to carry the water from the river, from the well to the house. He used to carry heavy buckets of water on his shoulders, totally bent over. And on Shabbat, look how tall he is with a shtreimel and a ratzaris and a bekesha. He's wearing a long bekesha, ripped, sewn, ripped. The poor man, but oh, and the Shabbos, the Shechina rutzach avsein panim, the Shechina shines from his face. And the young man, your age, says to him, Anshuldik, pardon me, when vet min daven in Marav? When will we daven Marav? And as much as the chassid looks at this teenager, looks down at him and says, and never forget these words, was seeing du bangst nach ihm wach? What's with you, youngster? You long for the week? You're in a rush to get back to the weakness, to the chol, to the emptiness? You're in a rush to leave the Shabbat? This is Vayehimi Macharat. And this is the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. When the Gemara talks about three people inherit the world to come, and the third category is someone who leaves over wine from Havdalah to Kiddush. Now what does it mean? That Saturday night, when he makes Havdalah, and he has limited wine, he has to already start thinking with joy about next Shabbat. He'll return to holiness. He'll return to sanctity. And he better leave over some wine so he'll be able to make Kiddush and usher in the Shabbos with the angels standing at his side, Shalom Aleichem Malachei Hasharei, with feeling with dignity, with ample wine. A Jew never leaves holiness. He can't. He doesn't want the pot. And what we lack in America are Erev Shabbos Jews and Motzai Shabbos Jews. Oh yeah, in America, Baruch Hashem, we have today many Shomrei Shabbos. But they don't feel the holiness before, and there's little inspiration from the holiness afterwards. Gentlemen, two drashot. Gili spotted it. But first, how do you like that second drasha, Mendel?
Like the first one better.
No, what? Powerful or not? Powerful or not? Don't you dare like the first one better.
I heard the second one when I was a young boy.
No? What's the problem, Gili?
The Gemara.
Exactly.
That you do,
Kiddush,
you say
it
the other way.
Gentlemen, the person giving the second drasha misquoted the Gemara. He inverted it. You follow? In other words, don't let me get away with it. These are the words of the Gemara. V'hamadil al chayayin b'motzai shabbatot. Mayhi. The Mishaya mikidusha lavdala. And look into the Rashbam. The person who gave the drasha inverted it. In his mind it read, Amadil alayayin b'motzai Shabbat, mahi d'mishaya mehavdala l'kiddush. Okay? Now, it's not the first time I found this. There are other times. Rabbi Lichtenstein too found. You got to remember, these are divrei agada. This person who worked on every, you're learning Pesachim the Kollel today. Danny Wolf is learning Pesachim, am I right? Believe me, your Rebbe has said over Torah from the person who gave the drasha. But you got to understand, divrei agada, he looked at once. He didn't look at it a second or third time. A medrash. He saw once in his life. He quoted it 50, 60 years later. He misquoted it. Now watch. This person's son, the Chachmat Yisrael person, is hysterical. This is not correct. This is wrong. I don't want to go further, but it affects your lives as well as mine. You don't even start to understand. He won't let, this person's son won't let tapes circulate. He says, you know, my father made mistakes. He's right. This is a mistake. There's no way to eradicate it.
That
Yitzchak, relax yourself. Please, Peirush. You can't go against an open Gemara.
But what you did.
You can.
I lived my whole life without it.
That, Baruch Hashem. Gentlemen, relax.
And I heard it in Yiddish.
Gentlemen, you want me to do it in Yiddish with Gili and Yossi sitting here? Have a heart. They're the finest students in the world. You gotta give it to them in their language. Gentlemen, relax yourself. Gentlemen, you have never seen a sight like this. Yitzchak, relax yourself. Relax, I'll give you a chance in a minute. Let me finish. You have never seen a sight like this. This is exactly my point. When you come with Chachmat Yisrael, you're very upset. This Gadol B'Yisrael took an open Gemara and misread three words. Turned them around. The whole drasha, the whole end of the drasha doesn't get off the floor. It's not the Gemara. That's why the son is upset. I don't want this to circulate. I don't want this published. We who come from the world of Talmud Torah, Yitzchak is dancing on the table. He loved it. He heard it when he was a kid.
Yeah.
Believe me, he's the happiest guy alive. And yet, there's no way Yitzchak can escape the fact that the Gemara was misquoted. This is exactly the Besamim Rosh. When you take an approach of Chochmat Yisrael, you throw the Besamim Rosh under the Sfarim Shank, under the bookcase. When you take the approach of Chachmat Yisrael, you burn the Besamim Rosh on Yom Kippur that fell on Shabbat. When you take the approach of traditional learning, what a drasha. All right, the Rebbe made a mistake, it's true. He didn't look at the Agada in this particular daf in 50 years. In his mind, all right, so if you would publish it, you would put a footnote in that your Rebbe misquoted this Gemara, it seems, but the concept is very relevant, very powerful, very potent, very cathartic. Use whatever word you want. Take a look. Yitzchak Rubin, a sane, modern, orthodox rabbi, dancing on the table, even though he knows the Gemara was misquoted. My case rests. That's the machloket between Chachmat Yisrael and our attitude to the Besamim Rosh. Lo chashiv mishra matze, to paraphrase Rav Ovadia, ella mashenema. And if he says a good word, we're dancing on the table. Nachum, what's up?
I just think that he can still make it fit.
Yeah, I challenge you to make it fit. The Gemara says, look at the words of the Gemara. Don't play games with me. How hard I worked on this Gemara to make it fit. The Meshaya mikidusha lahabdallah. Yeah.
You know, Shabbos is over. It's mostly Shabbos. You're taking from Shabbos and you're carrying it over.
The Gemara says, Mikedusha l'Habdalah, and look into the Rashbam. Rashi says nothing. But look into the Rashbam. Let's see Tosfot. 1 second. No, Tosfot too. Shomoneish liyato b'shvil Habdalah. You follow? There's Tosfot.
It's not literally what he says, but it's...
Take a look at these guys. Not literally. Fine. Gentlemen, my case rests.
But
there's not. Halavai. Halavai, you could come up with a different
way.
it's a mistake. I can give you other mistakes. I can show where Rabbi Lichtenstein writes, I couldn't find this medrash. And I said it's very simple. He misinterpreted with the Kohen, the Beit HaKfara. The Rav quoted it backwards. Rav Aaron couldn't bring himself to say that, so he just said, I couldn't find this exact medrash. But the truth was, he inverted it. Gentlemen, Ephraim, everyone who's heard this lecture will have no problem understanding the difference between David Tamar, and I'm not criticizing anyone, Chas v'chalila, the difference between David Tamar and the Svadik / Rav Zevin, and I have to admit, even people like us, give us a good vart, and you captured us. It's dashanud, it's homiletics, it's apologetics, doesn't matter. It's a good vart. And Rabbi Yitzchak Rubin, prime example, his face lit up. To all those listening via the website,
it's a Hasidic Rebbe.
Right.
I'm afraid to tell you that something happened in history. Anyone who's going to write a biography one day.
Talking about Reb Menachem Mendel of Kutz.
I'm talking about the man who comes from the descendants of those who opposed and excommunicated Hasidus. And yet, he imbibed it.
The Beseda. But you're still not solving my problem. You're talking about the Rav Beseda. But you're not solving my problem.
There is no solution.
No, the solution. But his son will say he made a mistake. And I don't want tapes to circulate which show that my father made mistakes. Quote, end quote.
That's one view. That's a Calvinist magistrate.
That's fine.
But the truth is, he used the text in a different way.
No. He misquoted that. Say that. Have it your way.
He changed the text.
You're allowed to change your Gemara text? Well, what are we talking about here? Okay, I want to
finish
up. You
know what? You and I go upstairs.
Yeah.
And we meet him. We'll ask him.
I wouldn't have the chutzpah to ask him.
Well, then you can.
I'll stand on my shir and the Rebbe. I should see my Rebbe. I'd kiss his fingers. Shalibah shalom, shalohu. We got a lot from him. Okay. But I made my point. I never expected it to go this well, thank God. I mean, I don't know, again, you're a little young. You have the background to appreciate this. But you saw Yitzchak. He heard the drusha with his own two ears. And he's giving me musa that I'm giving it in English, not in Yiddish. What am I supposed to do here? Yes,
again,
yes,
Nathan. It's kind of like that. Even it's also yeah. Like that there are times we have examples. You brought yourself.
I'll deal with that next year in depth, but you're still missing the point, plain and simple. Here,
all I know is that all these people who sat around in the Maimonides school and heard this year went home and felt that they have to
inspire
a little bit of a dog,
right.
Wine and put it back in the cup. Not because, he said, not because they're Zalva or because they were cheap, but because they want to prepare.
For next Shabbos. It's beautiful. I think I gave it beautifully. I mean, I was moved to tears, but it doesn't negate the fact that the Gemara says something else. Okay, you look at it.
But this is not a mistake. He didn't make a mistake.
It's a misquote of the Gemara.
He used the Gemara differently.
No. It's a misquote of the Gemara, and I can show you Midrashim, and that's the difference. David Tamar went berserk. And Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin.
You think he would have gone berserk if he would have sat there that night and listened to it?
To the Rav?
Yeah.
He would have. David Tamar would have had a lot of trouble. He would have been choking. Yeah.
And then he would have raised his hand and said, "You're misquoting the Gemara."
Right. And the Rav would have gone. You know, the Rav could fly off the handle at that period. So, say that. Let me go further. Yeah. What anyone here?
Okay. So I understand what Rabbi's trying to say. At the same time, though, they gave us comments to safer where. He's quoting something that's circular logic as if it's not, and that's just purely incorrect. He's giving me another mucker for something that doesn't exist.
Josh, line up with David Tamar. You're in good company. I, the point is made. There's nothing more I can do. It's a machlokes, but I'm showing you. Believe me, intellectually, David Tamar is right. emotionally, I'm with Rav Ofatya and Rav Zevin. Okay? You have to forgive me. It's been only five. A good vart. You can buy me very cheaply. A good vart, you got me. Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand why David Tamar is a scientific Jew brings over mices to prove his point.
No, the same thing. You got to have... that's a fabulous question. But you got to know David Tamar. Half the Chachmei Yisrael were Chassidim. Chassidish Buba. Rav Shlomo Buba, you follow me? Half of them were Chassidish. What can you do? They were Chassidim, they were Galicianas. And the Galicianas were exposed to enlightenment before any other part of East European Jewry. So the Galicianas, some of them were able to be good Chassidim and great scientific Jewish scholars. You follow? So you got to know David Tamar. Was Chassidish Yid, was a warm Yid, was a varma Yid. But when it came to scholarship, it was Chachmat Yisrael. But I think he brought the Bava Mises just to prove his point that even the Frumma have to agree with him. You follow me? In other words, if he says, if Professor Weiss or Professor Albeck threw it under the Svarin, the bookcase, that's not enough. But if he says that Chassidic Rebbe threw it under the bookcase, that already is convincing.
I thought he was just saying he made it up, these stories.
He heard them. I don't know.
What did he hear?
He has sources. He gives you sources.
He said it out loud, he heard them, and then he said it.
Right, no, he heard them.
They bring Baba Mises all the time. They say it's not important whether it happens, it's important that people think it.
Well, that's what the Rav said, but I'm answering him a little bit deeper, that David Tamar was smart enough to know that if he brings it from Chassidish Rebbeim, it has influence on the Haredim. And you got to know, in the Hatzofer, in the Mizrahi, there were a tremendous amount of Chassidish Jews who were Zionists. There were Chassidic Rebbeim who were Zionists. It's not like today, that being part of a Chassidic Rebbe is to make believe you're not a Zionist. I know one Rebbe, don't want to mention his name, I don't want to mention from where he's from, he's married to my student. Guy, the biggest phony in the world, you know, he makes believe he's a Rebbe, and he is a Rebbe. But, you know, he goes along, I go to Yisrael. One time I told him, I'll smack your face if I ever see you at an Agudah convention or something. I know where he comes from, but that's the world today. That's why Rakefet is a nobody, a nothing. Who's interested in a guy who's at Tzioni-Dati and proud of it yet? Wow, Baruch Hashem. Anyway, let it be. Gentlemen, let me just call it a little bit more, and then I want to end off with one final thought to leave you thinking about it for the next 50 years. If you go to the Sfarim blog on the B'Samin Rosh, you will see on page 12, they quote contemporary Gonim and what they said about the B'Samin Rosh. And you'll see it's exactly this attitude. The stipler, Yaakov Yisrael, talking the stipler Rav, talking already. You can't get me higher. This is the Chazon Ish's brother-in-law. So he said, yes, we see that there are very strange concepts in some of the Tshuvot, and yet other Tshuvot appear to absolutely be from the Rosh. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, this is quoted from Making of a Gadol, do you think just we were fooled? Even Rabbi Akiva was fooled. Even he thought it was legitimate. Rabbi Avigdor Nebensal, the Old City, when you quote the B'Samin Rosh, you have to be careful to understand that many people were hesitant about accepting everything at face value. So you see that the B'Samin Rosh, they knew it was a forgery, but people were enticed by his learning, by his lumdus. As I will show you in a minute, that even today, in the year 2011, people are quoting him, B'Kavod. Coming back just want to show you one more thing. Coming back to the Summer Rosh and the websites that deal with it, you have a world of material. So here, they quote Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Kanevsky in a placard that was issued in his name that it's not permitted to speak evil of the Besamim Rosh. And he gives many reasons why. One, of course, he came from great Yichus. You know, his father was a Tzvi Yishpelin, his cousin was the Noda B'Yehuda. They covered Avotav. Two, he's dead so many years. Maybe he found the tikkun of all he went through in the Olam HaEmet. Three, if you poke fun at him, you are also poking fun at all the Gedolim who defended him and quoted from him. Four, if you declare the Besamim Rosh and Apikores, it will weaken Klal Yisrael, because other very learned people can reach the same conclusion and become Apikorsim like the Besamim Rosh. And then he adds on a paragraph that you cannot really understand in today's generation how evil Enlightenment was and what it did to German Jewry and ultimately to all of European Jewry, how many people it led astray and destroyed. So we have to be Melamed Skot on the Besamim Rosh. And
who is this character, Yaakov Yisrael Kanevsky?
The Stipler Rav, Rav Chaim Kanevsky's father, the Chazon Ish's brother-in-law, the Gadol Hador, the Kehilat Yaakov, right? That's the name of his Svarim on Shas. The Stipler, when you came in Aliyah, he was still alive. The Stipler. He's the father-in-law of Rebbetzin Kanevsky, Rachel Kanevsky, was Mechutin with Rav Yashin. Gentlemen, and with all that I've said, the second drasha wins out. When he says something good, the world cannot desist from quoting him. And I have two quotes to show you. One from 2008 and one from 2011. And let me introduce you to one of my great achievements in teaching. The 1960s, a kid came to Yeshiva University's high school, Talmudical Academy, from Bangor, Maine. Ephraim, that's like telling you a kid came to Yeshiva in Moscow from Siberia. Bangor, Maine. The rabbi there, Rabbi Isaacs, who lives in Yerushalayim today, made his family from. Matter of fact, one of Rabbi Isaac's daughters married this person's brother. This kid came to Yeshiva, a wild kid, a misfit, from Bangor, Maine, into New York. And he was a big kid, a rough kid. He scared other kids. But a miracle happened. He had a Rebbe named Ani Rothkopf. And this Rebbe, Keneged Arbar Banim, Dibra Torah, this Rebbe had an impact on him. This kid today is one of the Gedolim in our generation. It's just a shame that he sits in Muncie in a Finkel. He's not as well known as he should be. Harav Betzalel Na'ar. Recognize the name? His original name is Richard Nayer. N-Y-E-R. His daughter, first part of the year, sat in my Monday morning class. Her husband was in one of the programs, not in Gris, but in some other program in Yerushalayim, and she came to the Midrashiyah. Rav Vitzalna is a gon adir, but he's a very fascinating individual who combines tremendous learning with tremendous scientific knowledge. He writes Hebrew beautifully. And I got him a job for him, and he could have come in Aliyah in a second. I had a fabulous job for him because someone who such a London writes Hebrew. But when it comes to Aliyah, it's all the woman, she makes or breaks it, and his wife didn't want to leave once. At least that's what I gather from afar. I can't fault her. I mean, this is the nature of life. And Aliyah, it's the French proverb, She Shela Femme, or the Medrash Rabbah, Kol Acharei HaIsha. If Jesse's wife is not happy here, he has to go back to worship idols. He has little choice. If his wife is happy here, he becomes a real Jew, and we can make a Shechiyanu to see such a wonderful Jew. Anyway, Rabbi Noyer's latest book is Maima Al Yishmael, and then he has a whole kuntres on Sheva Mitzvot Noah. And in this volume, which I'm holding in front of me, Xerox, look at page 63. Gets involved in a whole discussion. What do we mean by the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noah? And he raises the whole issue. Do me a favor, pick up the end of Shia. The last part is going to be very, very important. And he raises the whole issue. If something is logic, you know that it could very well be, if you look into Professor Menachem Alon's classic volumes, Mishpat Avri, you'll see all the sources that a logical svara is the oraita. And he brings from Shas and Poskim that you see logic has a Torah status. So it could be that in the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach, there's a lot more than just the Sheva Mitzvah. And many concepts that are logical are included under the rubrics of the Sheva Mitzvah. He deals with Mishpat HaNoach to Mo'kiyotka. He quotes the B'Samer Rosh. The B'Samer Rosh says something similar. He quotes him with diffidence. He knows that it's a forgery. But when there's a good bot, there is a good bot. He couldn't escape it. Even Richie Naya, even B'Tzalel Na'ar, who knows and has Chachmat Yisrael, and he's, I told him, I wrote him a note about this new volume. He's probably the first one of the scientific Jewish scholar writing a volume with all the scientific apparatus, and when he quotes Rav Moshe Feinstein, he quotes him like he's writing the great Torah. Hagon, Gadol Hadar, Maran, etc. It's a first, because in writing scholarship, you don't give titles. I trust you know that. Baruch Hashem, you don't give titles. They asked me from Geffen, do I want rabbi in front of my name? I said that is a disgrace even to ask the question. It's a sign that I'm writing Bubba Mises. Aaron Rechefet. I have to use Dash Ruch if I explain to you why. But no rabbi, no titles. He writes about Rav Moshe, writes about the Rav. It's an absolute, and that's why he suffers, because among Talmidei Chachamim, they probably say he's a scientific Jewish scholar. And among scientific Jewish scholars, they dismiss him as a Talmud Chacham. But he combines two beautiful worlds. But that's not all. Danny Wolf showed me. He bought a Haggadah. Mais and Nisim, an edited edition of Haggadah of Rabbi Yaakov Melisa, Rabbi Yaakov Karlina. This is one of the great early Talmidim of Balazhin, and it was put out with a super commentary by Rabbi Yoshua Yosef Goldberg. You know him? You told me he learned in Mir for many years. Oh, you don't know, but how do you know he learned in Mir?
He had a scummer
from the Mir Rosh Yeshiva.
Who is this Haggadah by? Rabbi Yaakov?
Rabbi Yaakov Melisa. It's one of his, by the way, you know, it just dawns upon me that this may not be Rabbi Yaakov Mekalman, he may not be a Voloshina. He's the author of the Netivat HaMishpat on the Tzotz HaChayshin. So it sort of precedes the Lashon. So I take that back. But he was a great Lithuanian Talmud Chacham of Gadol Shebe Gedolim Yaakov Melisa, was the Abbeitin of Lisa, and he raises, he quotes Yaakov Melisa in his commentary, he raises the issue of why we don't make a bracha Leil HaSeder on the Agada. You got to remember, Leil HaSeder, Bizman HaZereh, you correct me if I'm wrong, there are two mitzvot d'oraita, Sipu Yetziat Mitzrayim and Achilat Matzah. Achilat Mora, Dalet Tosa, the Rabbanin, there's no Kofen Pesach. Mora Zoni the Rabbanin, Kozman, we don't have a Kofen Pesach, am I correct? But we have the oraita, the Sipu Yetziat Mitzrayim and Matzah. Matzah, you make a bracha. What about making a bracha on Sipu Yetziat Mitzrayim? And he goes in again. You can look it up. I know the volume is in the hands of Danny. You can look it up. So he goes in. We do make a bracha, which is the bracha Asher Ga'alnu. When we come to the bracha of Geula, right before we come to the Sukkah and we drink the cup of wine, it's the second cup of wine, that bracha is a bracha on Geula, and that's essentially the Sipu Yetziat Mitzrayim. And in Rabbi Goldberg's super commentary, he goes crazy with joy that this is exactly in the Besamim Rosh, quotes the Besamim Rosh, word by word, the same concept, the question, the answer. And he says that Rav Yaakov Melisa was zeicha l'kavein to a rishon, to the rush that an achron gave an answer that the rush gave ashrei ayin ra'atan zot. Wow. The year 2011. Can't get rid of the Besamim Rosh. Throw him under the bookcase, burn him on Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbos, and he still comes back to dance in front of our eyes. And this is Betzal Ma'ar, who's not a mirror, who's not the narrow, and this is a mirror who is raised in a much more narrow environment. And given the Yadon Boin Ke'echad, Zocha B'Shama, B'Dibur Echad, Besamim Rosh. Gentlemen, we've spent many months on the Besamim Rosh. Generally speaking, people refer to the Besamim Rosh, you know, they don't go any deeper. Baruch Hashem, I believe at this point all that's left of this, one of you to later do a doctorate, thank me in the introduction as Mark Shapiro did, he thanks his Rebbe for introducing him to the Sri Dayesh. I've done the groundwork for you. All you have to do is fill in the sinews, the veins, the flesh, and the skin, but the skeleton is there. And what we saw today was crucial, the attitude of Chachmat Yisrael, comparing it to the traditional attitude. What I did with the Gemara and Pesachim, I think, was a home run. It brought the issue to become tangible. You could feel it. And I'm not posturing. There's a great deal to think about. And you saw the rational, logical mind of Rabbi Reuben dance with joy, although there's a mistake staring you in the eyes. But with the Besamim Rosh, there's one question that hangs fire. I don't have an answer. I don't think any of us can have an answer. But it's something to think about. That the Besamim Rosh was born before his time goes without saying. Rav Kanievsky refers to it already in, when he refers to the Haskalah. That he wanted to breathe the air that we all breathe is a given. The difference is he had no outlet, and we have so much choice. But what I wonder about, where would he be today? Rosh Yeshiva in YU or Rosh Yeshiva in Chovevei Torah? And here there's a very delicate point that I want to make. Many of us want to breathe free, but we're not in rebellion. Sometimes, because we want to breathe free, we wind up in rebellion. I can give you a simple example that you're all familiar with. You take Rabbi Dr. Professor David Hartman. No one knew Dovi better than I did when I was a student in Yeshiva. I was very close to him. In my new book, I described my three role models, and he was one of them. And then he started to broaden it. It has to deal with his background because he came from Lakewood, Chaim Berlin. He was not a total YU product by far. And then he broadens. But when he broadens, there's a drop of rebellion that comes in, and suddenly it's more than a drop, it's half a bottle. And before you know it, it's a full bottle. And I can trace it. I remember after the Six-Day War, he wanted to abolish, he spoke about in Montreal, he was around by abolishing Tisha B'Av. Then there was already with Yom Tov Sheni stories. Then he came in Aliyah. And then an entire procedure where today, non-denominational, and the Shira Hadasha, etc., etc. I don't want to go into any more detail, but those of you familiar with his writings, and even yours truly, Divi and I had a conversation a few months ago. We had a bit of battle over Hakkad Kedushin, over women rabbis, over respect for Rabbi Soloveitchik. Very caustic. And, you know, when you start to search for wide vistas, sometimes you get upset. Get upset, and there are reasons why. Don't have to tell you. I once spoke in America, I dialogued with a rabbi who's a big supporter of Chovevei Torah. And, oh, he was maledicting the Haredim, you couldn't believe. And this was in front of 400 people. And I said, Rabbi so-and-so, and I like him, he's a great individual and a fine human being, and a great Talmud Chacham. He's a product of Chaim Berlin, and he's a big Talmud Chacham. I said to him, you're criticizing the Haredim? No one in this room has more criticisms of the Haredim than Aaron Rakefet. I've lived in Israel at that time, what was it, 35 years, let's say. Today I live here 42 years. I can give you criticisms? Wow. What I have seen with my eyes? You got a long way to go to convince me that Haredim are from Jews. You know, their leadership, their way of thinking. It's frightening. I can tell you things in Israel that exist because of... But I said to this rabbi, I will never throw the baby out with the bathwater. And you all know my attitude. I'm not one to criticize. Everyone has criticism. Haredim, criticism. And I say, Baruch Hashem, the fact that they're so successful means they have to come out of the ghetto. They're taking over the country. And it obligates us to set a tremendous role model. The greater I am as a gon, and the greater I am as a tzaddik, and the greater I am as a chassid in my personal behavior, this is the example. That one can leave the ghetto, be part of the big world, and be a gon, a real gon, and a real tzaddik, and a real chassid. I know what I'm saying. With Chovevei Torah, you have people who are seeking a wider vista. I'm not criticizing them. You have some people who are, there's a bit of a rebellion there. I do criticize them. I don't know with Rav Shaul Berlin where he belongs. It's an interesting question. Sometimes because you don't have the broadness you seek, so the rebellion sets in. I can tell you with David Hartman, it just happened today, I recalled. One time the boys from BMT, everyone went to hear me, you know, came in Aliyah. It's not like Rakefet and Aliyah, like a frightened sheep. Who's interested in Rakefet? But David Hartman, So he's speaking, and he never mastered Hebrew. It's interesting that his Hebrew, it's not good. English, he's great, but Hebrew, he's deficient. In speaking, public speaking, you know. Not everyone, it's up to the, I don't know, whatever the reasons are, I'm totally at ease in Hebrew. I even prefer Hebrew, because you can be more dramatic, and you can quote Chazal, it sounds better. So the boys went from BMT to hear him, they came back. Wow, did he make fun of the Shulchan Aruch? What did he make fun of? There's halacha that which shoe do you put on first? The right foot. Which shoe do you tie first? No, help me out. The left foot. Why? Because you tie tefillin with the left, on the left hand. It could be for a lefty, it would be the opposite, I don't know. So he makes fun of that. That tying shoe, you're tying shoes, and this becomes important. What are we talking about? So the guy said, Rebbe, what's your opinion? I said, that is the most beautiful halacha in the world. He said, first of all, it's not halacha, it's not, you know, it's not, we're not talking any foolish ideas. But I said, if you want a concept that's so beautiful that even in a mundane act, tying a shoe, you think of tefillin. Isn't that beautiful? B'chol rechecha de'ehu, b'hu yiyasheh ochatecha, the pasuk in Mishnah. I want to tell you, I've met students years later, said, Rebbe, you once said a vart that we just loved it. That's the vart. You want to tell me it's not important? Halacha? Fine, it's not important. But the concept behind it, you're tying your shoes. Think it's fine. Yes, no.
Isn't that from the Vikuach of Ramban that came up, I think?
I don't know. I don't know.
Christian makes fun of that, the Ramban.
That halacha, that existed in the Ramban,
I don't know.
Give me a source. If you give me a source, like Ramiko, give me a source. Red Nishtin Velterai. Gentlemen, next week, Chilufei Minhagim, when a Sfardi and an Ashkenazi inter-ethnically marry. That's, and what?
In beautiful matrimony.
I'm dealing with that. It'll take me into next term. And then when I finish that, we go into the big, big leagues. 20 years. Had a Paskin Halacha. Be'ezrat HaNatel Yakar. Tomorrow is unbelievable. I'm dealing with, and I'm coming back to Michael Miller's question, and I'm going to show you what I got. You can't believe it. Michael Miller came to life, right in my life, with something that came to me in person, and wow, am I going to have a good time tomorrow. It's a very sad day tomorrow, and those of you that are going to Har Herzl, go to Har Herzl. It's infinitely more important than Aaron Rakepitz Nalishkai. Yes, Josh.
I was just going to inform
you that. No, you have to go to Har Herzl. But the Kollel has regular class, and if they're not here, Reb David Miller is going to be very angry at them. So tomorrow we're going to take attendance to Yad Chazakah and Baruch Hashem. Now, I apologize, and Yom HaZikaron, I shouldn't, but it's not yet sunset. If anyone is a baseball fan, this was sent to me, a review of the new book put out by a Jewish lady, a Gomit, on Mickey Mantle. So I wrote back to the guy who sent me the review, Yochoshev B'Ksherim. I not only was given the book a gift, I read the book from cover to cover, and I passed it on to Mo Berlin, and they told me he danced for joy when he got the book. That's number one. Number two, if you're going into Chinuch and you want to see how to deal with hidden books, this is a letter from the Lubavitcher Rebbe from 1959 dealing with the kid who was caught with a book that he shouldn't have been reading. You'll see the seichel of the Rebbe. Finally, Yom HaZikaron, coming back to the way I began an hour and 35 minutes ago, if anyone wants a picture of David Applebaum Hashem Yikamo, here is his picture. Until we meet again in health and happiness tomorrow at 9:05 a.m. Das Vidanya.
Excited for
Hashem. Nachum, that's very exciting. Yes, Rav Hashem. What you told me is very exciting. That's David Abraham. That's Mickey Mantle.